Welcome to the Door of Life Church Podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Right. Well, this morning we're going to go ahead and open to a passage of Scripture in Ephesians. The Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus with some instruction for them, and we're going to look at a couple scriptures this morning. I think as we look at them, we'll kind of see the direction that we're getting ready to head. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Again, this is the Apostle Paul writing. He says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." You know, it's God's will for us to be free from all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. And he goes on to say again, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And the next slide, Emily. Colossians 3, 12 through 13. Again, the Apostle Paul writing to the church, to the Colossian church, he says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." We see in these two passages of scriptures something called, well, you could call it even as forgiveness. Emily, the next slide. Basically, this morning I'm going to talk about, minister along the lines of, even as forgiveness. This is just a great time of year as we're preparing for Easter and we think about Jesus and what he did for us. A lot of times we'll see those images, those pictures of Jesus hanging on the cross, pouring out his blood, sacrificing himself for our sins, for the forgiveness of sins. And we're admonished throughout the scriptures as it relates to forgiveness, to forgive even as God in Christ has forgiven us. You know, there was one day Peter had asked the Lord, you know, "How many times do I sin against should my brother sin against me, and how many times should I forgive him?" You know, Peter throws out a suggestion. He says, you know, up to seven times. And the Lord said, "Don't say seven times." He said, "But I say to you, 70 times seven." 70 times seven. And the first reaction that Peter had to that was, "Lord, increase our faith." Forgiveness. Forgiveness is a big deal. It's one thing when, you know, you're dealing with a broken body or broken finances or broken material stuff, but forgiveness has to deal with your broken heart. That hits close. Forgiveness. And the scripture talks about forgiveness in such a wonderful way. I love that phrase, even as. Even as. And this morning, as I was just kind of preparing, I was just seeing that even as forgiveness, that title, even as forgiveness. I just hope that sticks with you. Because forgiveness, so many times we think of it as a duty. This is something that I got to do because Jesus told me to do it. And, you know, it's the right thing to do. And I'm a Christian and I should do this. But even as forgiveness is connected to, can you back up two slides? I got my clicker. That verse 31, put away all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and all malice. Lives that are free from those things are connected to even as forgiveness. See, that's the amazing benefit of forgiveness. It's not just duty, but it frees you up from this stuff When you don't forgive, you have those things. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice. You become very, very wise in terms of comebacks and cutting and all that malice stuff. It's all linked, though, to issues of forgiveness. And the key to being free from that verse 31 stuff, you know, we want to be free from all the verse 31 stuff and hold on to things, but they go hand in hand. And so as we release by obedience through verse 32, forgiveness, that verse 31 stuff goes off. And we're able to enjoy life free from that other stuff that comes hand in hand with unforgiveness. And so you can go forward again, Emily, to the, not just the title slide, but two slides forward. Okay, yeah. So we're talking about even as forgiveness. And the first area that we want to talk about as it relates to even as forgiveness, if we're going to forgive even as he's forgiven us, then we have to have his ability to forgive. I can't forgive even as he's forgiven me if he's got this ability to forgive that I don't have. I couldn't. It would be impossible. You know, I can't, you know, throw a football even as Aaron Rodgers with the same accuracy and precision unless I've got that Aaron Rodgers ability to do it even as he does it. So to put a request or a demand on somebody to do something even as somebody else does it, then you got to have what they have to be able to do what they can do. All right? So we're talking about even as forgiveness. If I'm going to forgive even as he forgives, then I need whatever it is that he has to be able to do that myself. So I need number one in terms of even as, I need his ability to do that. So next slide, Emily. We find out that God doesn't just ask us to forgive, tell us to forgive even as, but he gives us something to do that. Romans 5, 5 through 8. Now this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Romans. He says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. This is that picture of Easter. Christ, you know, really Good Friday. Due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, we're going to take the concept of love and we're going to really bring it down, I guess where you could say where faith meets real life. And it's the kind of love that dies for somebody who is a sinner. Somebody who does not deserve it. We call it unmerited favor, you call it grace. But here's what it looks like in real life. Jesus demonstrates his love in that he died for us while we were still sinners. In other words, he wasn't doing it in response to anything we had done for him. It wasn't payback. We are sinners, without hope, without God in the world. He just proactively died for us, gave himself for us. That's the kind and quality of love that we see in verse 5. That love's been shed abroad in our hearts. Well, what do you mean, that love? It's the kind of love that is willing to forgive, willing to lay down its life. It's that sacrificial love. I mean, while we were still sinners. I mean, that's mercy that is just not even responded to. So he just proactively gave himself for us. That's the kind of love. That love has been put in our hearts. The love that made him do what he did is the love that we have in us to do what he's called us to do, to forgive. You know, there's a really wonderful verse that we quote many times in Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't do all things in of myself. I can't do all things in my own strength, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I like to kind of turn that verse around as it relates to the love of God that's been shed abroad in my heart and put it this way. I can forgive all things through the love of God that's been shed abroad in my heart. by Christ Jesus. The ability to forgive has been given to us. It's been put on the inside. The same love that caused Christ to take his place on the cross was the same love that's in our heart. So that ability is there. It's not your personality. It's not your character. It's not just your natural. It is supernatural. Something that's been put into you by the Holy Spirit. Next slide, Emily. And thank God, this is where we have the throne of grace too. Hebrews 4:15-16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is where, as we're dealing with those issues, you know that verse 31 where you saw, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice, when those things are in you, to put them away from you. Again, you need that ability to forgive. That stuff is in there. And when you've got bitterness, wrath, malice, you're not feeling really spiritual. You're not feeling the love of God. You know, you've got bitterness, wrath, and the key is forgiveness. But you know by faith, his love's been shed abroad in your heart. And what do? How do we tap into that ability that he's given to us? We take the invitation, and we come, and I love verse 15, first of all, it says, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are. Jesus had a group of people that followed him from town to town just to try to trap him in his words. Jesus is very acquainted with what it's like to have people who are after you and out to get you and literally trying to kill you. All right? You know, we have some of our little deals, you know, are just kind of the maybe little things that we're fighting about stuff, but these are people literally trying to kill him. And he knows what it's like to be falsely accused. He knows what it's like to deal with people that are arrayed against him. And so he can sympathize. He can understand with the feelings and the pain of betrayal. Obviously, Judas, even Peter, he understands that. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In other words, as I am going to forgive, even as he's forgiven, I'm going to need his ability. And the first thing that I have to do is I've got to come before that throne of grace and say, God, I can't do this on my own. Thank you that your love is in me, and I need grace to help, Father God, in this time of need, to push past the feelings of bitterness. It's like layers. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. I push past that, and I reach in to the throne of grace, and I, by faith, Father, forgive even as you have forgiven me. There is an ability to do that. It is beyond your feelings. It is beyond your personality. It's faith. There is a throne of grace that we can come to. This is where the just live by faith. It's faith in that grace to help, to forgive on purpose. And, you know, when we say, you know, forgiving, it is just going to be, it's going to be something that we do simply according to the Word of God. It's going to be something that we do, and it is an amazing thing, too, when you just forgive by faith. In other words, I'm not trying to emotionally reconcile all the hurt feelings of something somebody did to me. Do you know you don't have to work through all the hurt emotions and feelings of something somebody did to you before you can forgive them? That's unscriptural. That'll put you on a merry-go-round for life. The scripture simply says, be kind, tender-hearted, and forgive, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. That takes faith. It's not feeling-oriented. It's grace-oriented. Grace does not equal feelings. Grace is the substantive, supernatural strength of the Spirit of God that's not of you, but it's through Christ who strengthens you, and you, by faith, forgive. But it's his ability in you. Again, I can't throw like Aaron Rodgers, and if I've got to throw even as Aaron Rodgers throws, I'm going to need Aaron Rodgers' ability to do that. It's going to have to be put in me somehow. Well, if I'm going to forgive even as God in Christ, I need that ability in me. It's there. I'm not forgiving according to my personality, according to my family's tendencies toward forgiveness. No. I'm forgiving according to the grace that's in me, according to the love of God that's been shed abroad in my heart. I'm forgiving even as according to his ability. And that's a faith proposition, period. You're going to forgive by faith with absolutely no sense of feeling at all. Father, that was wrong. You know, when you forgiveness too isn't saying, oh, that's all right. No, it's not all right. If somebody sins against you, it's not all right. It's where you say, that was wrong, and I forgive, even as you have forgiven me. And I forgive by faith, according to that love. Praise God. And I don't have to wait for them to even apologize to me. God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, he did what he did. We demonstrate our love in the same way. That's the love that was shed abroad in our heart. We demonstrate it the same way, whether they ask for forgiveness or not. It's the same love. And I'm going to forgive whether they ask for it or not. I demonstrate it. Same love. It's his ability. Praise God. Next slide, Emily. The next thing, if I'm going to forgive even as he is forgiven, not only do I need his ability to do that in me, which I know I have by faith, but I'm also going to need his sacrifice. His sacrifice. Let's take a look at the next slide. 1 John 2. It says, you know, this is the Apostle John. He says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Praise God. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. In other words, when Jesus died on that cross, he didn't just die for your sins. Thank God he died for your sins. That's the first revelation you got to get born again and saved. You know, a lot of times people preach the gospel and it's a concept and a theory. But the Holy Spirit, as he draws you to salvation, gives you the reality that, wow, my sin was up there. That's awesome. Carrying around guilt for something that was personally laid on Jesus, and it's like, whoa, my sin. Yes, I take that cross for my salvation. I call upon his name and I am saved. Praise God. But we also do have to realize the other side of it, that not only did Jesus suffer for our sins, but he also suffered for the sins of the whole world. There, in other words, there's no sin that he did not account for. That's a pretty powerful fact. Let's take a look at another scripture here. And this is, next slide, Emily. In Isaiah, go back, let's see, back one more. Yeah, right there. I'm sorry. Back up. It should be Isaiah 53:4. Do you have that? Can you back up a little? Is that just not? I'll go ahead and read it. That clicker thing just isn't working right back there. Isaiah chapter 53:4. It says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." And then the next slide is Isaiah 53:10, basic, you know, that area of scripture. Says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." We see in this passage of what's commonly called in Isaiah the suffering servant. It's a prophetic scripture of what Jesus did for us 2,000 years ago on Calvary. And yet that scripture was written 700 years before Jesus actually came and suffered and died on the cross. And so, but we see it, we see a very powerful, if you could look up to that previous slide, you know where he says in verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned aside everyone to his own way. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all." Again, that's where John says he died not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. And then that next slide, where he goes on to say, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and has put him to grief." Now, when we think about this, you might wonder, "Wow, how could it please the Lord to bruise him?" Is it just like a sadistic pleasure of pain? Of course not. The pleasure, or what we call the pleasing, it was the satisfaction of the injustice and the justice, what we call justification, where he makes us right with him. But it pleased the Lord to bruise him. The wrath of God was satisfied at the cross. Again, it's not a sadistic pleasure for pain's sake, but it was the pleasure, it was the satisfaction of the debt of sin being paid and satisfied in Christ. Praise God. And that's what we realize and we look at and so appreciate. Why don't I have to carry that guilt around? Thank God the satisfaction of the debt was paid in Christ. I just received the forgiveness. Praise God. Lord, I thank you. You paid the price for that. I received the forgiveness and cleansing that belongs to me as a result of that sacrifice. Thank you for it, Father. Thank God I walk on off free. There is not a legal basis for me to have to carry that sin consciousness because Christ bore the wrath for that sin. He did it. And as he did that and as he bore it, it's satisfied. That means that satisfaction allows me to go free from a guilty conscience. It was satisfied in Christ. It was paid for in Christ. And so what do we see about how did God forgive us? Well, God did this. He poured out all the wrath, the anger, the judgment that was due for all sin, for all time in Christ. And at that moment, God's wrath was satisfied, pleased through Jesus Christ. That's the amazing glory of the cross and the amazing glory of what Christ did for us at Calvary. And so that's where there's freedom. This is a neat little story. I think it kind of tells it well. It's entitled Prairie Fire. Some people try to punish themselves for their sins. They do not stand on the promises of forgiveness in Christ's propitiation, or his sacrifice for our sins. Many years ago, a father and his daughter were walking through the grass on a Canadian prairie. In the distance, they saw a prairie fire, and they realized that it would soon engulf them. The father knew there was only one way of escape. They would quickly begin a fire right where they were and burn a large patch of grass. When the huge fire drew near, they would stand in the section that had already burned. When the flames did approach them, the girl was terrified, but her father assured her, "The flames can't get to us. We're standing where the fire has already been." And that's the revelation that we have to get as Christians too. Standing where the fire has already been. That's why it's ridiculous for us to beat ourselves up over that same thing over and over. The fire's already been there. When you go there and say, "Lord, I thank you. This is mine. My forgiveness. I receive it." How can I do that? It's not that God is just looking the other way. No, God looked 2,000 years ago right at my sin. He looked right at it. And it pleased him to bruise him, Jesus, on account of my sin. And so that's the really amazing thing about it. The wrath for my sin was satisfied in Christ. That's the significance of the cross. And so as I begin to look at that, I begin to see that, then I understand how I can receive that forgiveness. It's double jeopardy. We're paying for the same crime twice here. If I'm beating myself up, if I'm self-inflicting suffering for something Christ has already suffered for. All right? So I'm agreeing with it and saying, "Yes, Father, I receive that forgiveness. I receive that mercy. Christ paid the price for me. I receive it by faith. I thank you for it." Hallelujah. He's the propitiation. That's what John said. He said, "If any of you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Take advantage of that advocate ministry. Receive the forgiveness that belongs to you and go on down the road." Praise God. Now, as we begin to look at, right here. Yeah, go ahead and that Hebrews 4:14-16. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Okay, you know what? I'm thinking. You know what? Yeah, that. Just go back to the previous slide. I think that was just an extra in there. We need to take this understanding as far as how God has dealt with our sin now. So what does that mean? Why can I go free from a guilty conscience? I don't have to double jeopardy. I don't have to beat myself up for something. I don't have to suffer for something. Christ has already suffered for me. He's my advocate. I receive the forgiveness, and I go on down the road. Now, this is very important to understand as it relates to even as forgiveness. If I'm going to forgive even as God in Christ has forgiven me, I need to understand how he's forgiven me. I need to understand his sacrifice. In other words, I know God isn't mad at me right now. I know God doesn't have a big victim complex over all the stuff that I've done to him through the years. I know God isn't seething. I know God isn't... He was pleased. All that was already taken care of through Christ. His wrath was satisfied in Christ. In other words, he's satisfied. Praise God. Now, this is important. When we forgive, even as God in Christ has forgiven us, we need to do the same thing that the Father did with our sin. We're talking about forgiveness. Because here we go. We're going to back up to that point. Not only did Jesus die for all my sins, not only were all my sins that I ever committed laid upon him on that cross, but also every sin that was ever committed against me was laid on him on that cross. Listen close. In the same way that God's wrath, the Father looks at the cross and his wrath for my sin is satisfied, I can look at the cross and my wrath for all the sin that's ever been sinned against me is satisfied in Christ's suffering. Christ's suffering for my sin removes my guilt. Christ's suffering for everybody who sinned against me removes my bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. I'm forgiving even as he's forgiven me. The same way the Father looks at that cross and is satisfied in the sufferings of Christ where it comes to my offenses, I look at that same cross and I'm satisfied that Christ suffered for everything that was ever done wrong to me. When somebody causes you to suffer and hurt, your natural reaction is to want to cause that person to suffer every way they made you suffer. You want them, naturally speaking, to experience the same frustration and the pain and let them know what they have put you through. It's retaliation. It's vengeance. This is natural. All right? Vengeance is natural. Forgiveness is supernatural. How can I reconcile that? Because what I feel is real. When I'm hurt, it really hurts. That's wrong. That's injustice. For me to be free from the inequity that's going on, that's been done to me, I need reconciliation. I need to be able to balance the books inside, emotionally, mentally, and everything else. This is my reconciliation. This is what gives me permission to balance the books on the inside, the sacrifice of Christ. If I'm going to forgive even as, then the thing that caused the Father to be satisfied is the same thing that's going to cause me to be satisfied. He not only died for my sins that frees me from guilt, but he died for every sin that was ever committed against me to free me from the bitter, so my books can balance. You know, when you preach on forgiveness, a lot of times people internally will think, yeah, but you don't know. But you don't know what's been done to me. You don't know what I've gone through. Yeah, and you know something? You don't know me either. You don't know what I've gone through. You don't know what I've experienced. But something we both can do is look at the cross. Because no matter what's been done to me, no matter what's been done to you, he died for the sins of the whole world. So it's covered. It's covered. There's nothing Christ, there's nothing you've experienced in terms of offense that's outside of the sacrifice of Christ. Thank God. I can forgive even as he forgave me. I can look to the same cross that the Father looks to and say, that suffering that Christ went through was good enough. My book's balance. I forgive. Thank you, Lord. Praise God for it. There's freedom at the cross. You know, this Easter season, again, we see that picture. We remember the glorious redemption personally that comes through the cross. But boy, let's let this also be a reminder of an even as forgiveness. Not only did the redemption of my salvation and soul and freedom from guilt come at the cross, but the reconciliation of all offenses against me, that victory came at the cross. I can look there and forgive even as God in Christ. You know how wonderful that is? I don't have to wait for people to come in line. I don't have to emotionally work through a bunch of stuff. I'm just looking at the cross and saying, it's good enough. Praise God. That's a light yoke. You know, forgiveness isn't supposed to be a heavy yoke. It's something we do by faith. I mean, his yoke is light, but it's also a yoke of faith. The just shall live by faith, walk by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So there's an element of faith that's going to be a part of his yoke. And for us, that faith is looking at that cross and saying, Father, I forgive even as you have forgiven me. And if it helps you, I've had to do this with my own sin at times, where the Lord has reminded me, where I'm kind of beating myself up and da-da-da-da. The Lord just gave me a picture one day as I was going to work of Christ on the cross, just that bloody picture, agonizing, suffering Christ. And the Lord just speaking these words, the sacrifice was good enough. Receive your forgiveness. Little games that you play to try to take the place of what Christ, there's nothing that can take the place of what Christ did for us on the cross. And if you're struggling with not letting go of something, look at the cross. Consider that suffering. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleases me as well that he took the suffering for every sin that was committed against me. And my books are reconciled in him. They're reconciled in that sacrifice. Praise God in him. Let's go ahead to the next slide forward, Emily, the next one that says his forgetfulness. There we go. This is the other aspect, if we're going to forgive even as he has forgiven us. We have his ability, all right? That love's been shed abroad in our heart. It's not something that I feel with my emotions. It's something that I know is there by faith, according to his word. You know, your ability to feel something isn't what establishes reality, spiritual reality, for sure. I mean, most people have not seen the third heaven with your eyes. You know it's there. You know it by the word. You know it by the Spirit of God. And the fact that his love has been shed abroad in your heart, I know that ability is in me. And so I forgive by faith, according to his word. And I also forgive according to his sacrifice. What do I do then? I, by faith, turn and look and forgive because he has paid the price for every sin that was committed against me. So I, by faith, look to Christ and say, Lord, thank you. It is done. Now, the other aspect that he has, his ability, right? If we're going to forgive even as he's forgiven us, we need his ability to do that. We've got the love of God shed abroad in our heart. We have the very same sacrifice that the Father looks at for the forgiveness of our sins. We've got the same sacrifice of Christ to forgive those who've sinned against us. But there's also another attribute that he has that we need and that we have, praise God, to be able to do what he does. And that is his forgetfulness. The next slide. It should be Hebrews 8. Yeah. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. In that he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Praise God. Hallelujah for the new and better covenant that we have in Christ Jesus. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. That is a beautiful, powerful thing. Again, you can receive forgiveness. The enemy can bring things up, and you can fall into things, into a same guilt trap for something you've already received forgiveness of. But the Bible says that he will remember our sins no more. So I know he doesn't remember them against me. Let's go to the next slide, Emily. This is in Psalms. It says, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Okay? We're talking about forgiving even as. So in other words, when I take that look and I say, Father, forgive me, I confess my sin, the price has been paid, I receive that benefit of grace and forgiveness that belongs to me, cleansed from all unrighteousness, your conscience is cleansed from all unrighteousness. Your spirit never loses its righteous position. It's your conscience that needs cleansing from the dead works to serve the living God. And so you receive that conscience cleansing forgiveness through the grace of God. And praise God, as you do, it is gone. It is far. It is removed. All right? That's the kind of forgiveness where God remembers our sins against us no more. He has an attribute of forgetfulness that is not due to any kind of age or, you know, issues that he's having as God. It's a forgetfulness that's rooted in love and grace. You know, it's not a lack of ability to recall or remember. It is a forgetfulness. That's a freedom. In other words, I don't have to wonder if God is kind of secretly stewing about something that I did. I know I technically, but is he kinda? No. It's gone. And the next slide, Emily. This is where the Apostle Paul says, brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God that's in Christ Jesus. Praise God. What are we talking about here? We're talking about his forgetfulness, that ability to take what is behind and leave it behind. And what is, I like what the Apostle Paul says. He says, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Let me give you a little help in putting things behind you. If you're not reaching forward, it's very hard to put things behind you. He didn't just say, I put things behind me, period. No. You got to fix your gaze in another direction. You can't just put things behind because you're supposed to put things behind. If you're not looking forward, it's going to be very hard. Forgetting those things that are behind you and reaching forward to your focus, your direction. It's going forward to what God has you to do next. And that's the thing that we all experience when we allow that entanglement of forgiveness. It's like ankle weight spiritually. It just slows you down. It puts you in a self world of self and fear. And fear that it's going to happen again, and fear and self and fear, and it slows you down. It stops your direction. It stops your movement. So Paul said, I'm forgetting those things that are behind. Paul had to forget two things, didn't he? He had to forget the fact that he was the great persecutor of the church and responsible for the death of Christians. So the guilt was behind him. Why? Because he knew the Father remembered his sins no more, and he wasn't going to remember them either. And the Apostle Paul had to also forget those who sinned against him, to put those behind and go forward, pressing to the mark of the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And that's the biggest problem with bitterness. It steals your time. You get a vapor down here. And the enemy wants you looking back, seething. No, I'm looking for, I'm forgiving, I'm remembering them no more. How can I do that? How can I not remember something that keeps coming back? I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I'm setting my mind forward. I'm setting my mind on what God has called me to do. I'm fellowshipping with Him. I am proactively moving forward in my walk with God. It's not denial. It's not pretending it didn't happen. But I'm moving forward in the good works that God has ordained me to walk in. I have a plan of God. I got a call on my life. I've got stuff He wants me to do. I have an upward call that I'm down here to fulfill. That's my focus. I'm going to be about the Father's business. And I'm not going to be distracted by those who've sinned against me. I am forgiving and I am forgetting. How do I forget? Again, it's not your ability. It's not that you lose your ability to naturally recall something that happened to you. In fact, the enemy is really good at bringing to your remembrance things that have happened to you. And it takes, you have to on purpose choose to say no. No, that was already reconciled in my books. It was reconciled then, it's still reconciled. It's gone, done. Reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Praise God. Moving forward, forgetting those things that are behind. How am I going to forgive even as He has forgiven me? I'm going to on purpose forget. I'm going to on purpose refuse to go back there. Praise God. This is the cool thing. This isn't denial. It's not repression. It's total reconciliation. I have no moral obligation to have to go back there. It's already satisfied in Christ. I'm glad God doesn't have any moral obligation to have to go back into my sins that He's already forgiven me of. No, I'll remember them no more. Why? Because they were really satisfied in Christ. Either they were satisfied or they weren't. They were. And it releases you from the moral obligation, which is really just a form of fear and protecting fear, to by faith just say, no, I forget those things that are behind. Lord, if there's something You want to show me by revelation, praise God, show away. And the wisdom that comes from above, it'll be pure, peaceable, gentle, full of mercy and good fruits. No partiality, no hypocrisy, and it'll be sown in peace of them that make peace. It'll be peaceful. It won't be a threat and a warning. I mean, you can live on, you know, you can spiritualize fear in so many different ways religiously. But it's not His voice. Forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. His forgetfulness. And you can learn forgetfulness. I'm going to learn to forget. There's a reason why I'm forgetting. Again, it's not repression. It's not denial. It's reconciliation. I don't have to remember. I don't have to work through. It's gone. It's gone in Christ. And I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm led by the Holy Spirit, and I'm looking forward to those things which are ahead. The fear is this. What if that thing that hurt me in the past is going to come back again, and I'm going to be hurt by it? Does that mean that I just do whatever? No. Jesus is your Lord. You are led by the Holy Spirit. We had a message on a few months back about forgiveness, just some basic things about forgiveness. It's important to understand a few ground rules, that forgiveness and trust are two separate things. Okay? You can forgive somebody, it doesn't mean you have to trust them. All right? You have a moral obligation to forgive, even as God in Christ forgave you. You have no moral obligation to trust another human being. You don't. Not to trust in the arm of flesh. Not to trust. Now, God has situations He has set up, you know, as far as, you know, structure of authority and different things like that, where we're called to obey. But as far as trusting in a person, my hope is always in God. And that's why Jesus said, unless you love me more than father, mother, spouse, brother, sister, in your own life also, our hope is in God. I remember a minister once said this. He said, you know, in our ministry, we've got some rules. And he said, if you break these rules, these are just the rules of the ministry. There's certain things we just don't do. He said, if you violate these certain rules, it will cost you your employment here. He said, now I'll forgive you and help you find another job. When somebody sins against you, you forgive them, but you're not obligated to have to trust. That trust is built back up over time. All right? So don't confuse forgiveness with trust. Oh, I've forgiven them. That means I have to trust. You don't have to trust. It doesn't mean you have to live in fear. Your trust is in God, and you're led by the Spirit of God in terms of what you do or don't do anyway. God will show you by His Spirit who to partner with, who to flow with, who did those different levels. That's the Spirit's job to lead and guide you. But don't feel like, oh, I got to prove that I've forgiven by reestablishing trust. No. The two are completely separate. In fact, when you look at ministry stuff, the Apostle Paul said, he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. The gospel that was committed to my trust. When you talk about relationships and things like that, there are elements of trust and where you have to have peace in your own heart. Lord, can I enter into certain levels of relationship with this person again? Completely separate from forgiveness. That's what the Holy Spirit is in you to show you and to lead and guide you and give you peace about. All right? But trust is not a moral obligation to prove forgiveness. No, my forgiveness is wrapped up in what Christ did at the cross. And I forgive even as God in Christ has forgiven me. Praise God. And I realize that I am going to forget those things that are behind. All right? If there's something that I need to know, great, God will show me. I'll ask Him. He'll lead and guide me into all truth. But as I'm going forward, I'm going forward without remembering that stuff against me. And I am looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, the one who began this good work, the one who's going to complete it. And if I need to be alerted to not put a trust in a certain direction, my Lord will show me that. But in the meantime, I'm not going to hold it against Him. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to go on. I'm going to put it behind me like the Apostle Paul put it behind him, and I'll trust the Lord to lead and order my steps. Boy, that's really what it comes down to, isn't it? You can either try to politically manage your own fear internally, or you can just look unto Jesus, forget, forgive, go on, and let Him show you those specifics as it relates to relationships and people. Praise God. That's a free way to live. It's a free way. That's really how you live with all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. It's gone. Final slide, Emily. So even as forgiveness, what is it? We're forgiving with His ability. His love has been shed abroad in my heart. I'm forgiving by faith according to that love that's been shed abroad in my heart. I do it on purpose as an act of my will. What am I doing? I'm looking at the cross, and I'm seeing the same sacrifice that was made on my behalf was made on behalf of everybody who's ever sinned against me. In the same way, even as God's wrath and vengeance against my sin was satisfied in Christ, my wrath, my vengeance against anybody who's ever sinned against me is satisfied in Christ. Christ's suffering was good enough when it came to my sin. Christ, as it relates to the Father, Christ's suffering is good enough as it relates to all those who've sinned against me. My books reconcile in Christ. That's my healing. That's my reconciliation. And finally, forgetfulness. It's kind of the follow through. Yes, will the enemy remind you of something you've done, that somebody's done against you, and might you think about it, and might you get stirred up and mad, and then he'll accuse you of having never really forgiven? Have we ever been there before? Yeah, we've all been there before. You have forgiven. He's a liar and the father of lies. He's just a bold-faced liar. And you say, praise God, Lord, I have forgiven. I forget. And I go, and when you do that, eventually, you are transformed by the renewing of your mind. And there's healing that will take place. Just like a wound, healing. And that will get better and better and better and better. Praise God. And again, as it relates to trust, God will lead and guide you into all truth as far as that goes. The evidence of my forgiveness is not based on I have to trust a person again. No, it's based on what Christ did for that person as it relates to my sin. And I forgive them, and I love them, and I'm kind, and I'm gentle and tender-hearted. Walk in love toward them, do good, all those kind of things. But praise God, that's where I'm free. Even as forgiveness. Heavenly Father, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus, as we just approach this Easter season, as we see
our Lord, our risen Savior. We see that story retold, the greatest story ever told, retold. And we see our Lord, our Master Savior, dying on that cross. We not only remember, Lord Jesus, that you redeemed us to God by your blood, but that you also bore every sin ever committed against us. You've already suffered for everything that was ever done against us, so we don't have to. We can be pleased. We can be satisfied in that sacrifice. The suffering is already done. Praise you, Father. Thank you for giving us your ability. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith, if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, you command me in your word to forgive even as you have forgiven me. You've given me the same ability that you have to forgive. I believe that love is in my heart. The love that dies for the ungodly, I have it in me. I forgive by faith in the ability that you've given me to look to the cross, to see the sacrifice of Christ, to see his suffering. But now I see a suffering that has to do with all the sin committed against me. That was part of his pain. My wrath is satisfied in Christ, even as the Father's wrath was satisfied with my sin. Father, I forget those things that are behind. With your forgetfulness and ability to look forward at those things ahead, there's an upward call. There's a great commission. There's the Father's business. That's what I'm about. Productive, fruitful, reflecting the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Not only because of my own sin forgiven, but as an example that I'm free because I'm forgiving those who sinned against me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.